God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we focus in on the second to last fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. We want to have faithfulness in our relationships with others because God is faithful to us. Dear friends, you've probably figured this out in life, but in general, there are givers and there are takers. And the world that we live in actually tells us the best position to be in life is to be a taker with a whole bunch of givers right around you. I watched a commercial a couple weeks ago that highlighted what it's like to be on a vacation cruise in the Caribbean. And what I saw was exactly that. One taker with a whole bunch of givers all around him. A waiter was on the boat with a tray, and he had a drink that he gave the person sunbathing. He was the taker receiving the drink and sunbathing. Then the commercial went to the evening where he was taking in a play. The performers were up on stage, the singer and the piano player, and there he was sitting back, just taking it all in. And then finally he went to the buffet after that on the cruise ship and took everything that came his way, all sorts of delicacies, all sorts of food. If you watch commercials today, you're going to see that oftentimes. That's the way they promote a product. You are a taker, and everyone else around you is a giver. That's a pretty good setup. How many would want that? That's pretty sweet. Lots of people to dote on you and give you everything you want. Well, I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, is the exact opposite. Faithfulness tells us that in life we're best when we're givers, even at times when everyone else around us are takers. To get to faithfulness and how we can really be true givers, I want to talk about probably the most endearing story in the Bible, in my opinion, and one that scholars will say this is probably perhaps one of the oldest stories in the Bible, and that is the story of Ruth. There are two great things that Ruth does that teaches us what faithfulness is about and how we can live it in our own lives. Here's the first one I want to point out. Ruth is someone who makes a promise of commitment at a time that it absolutely does not make any sense to do. We know the story really well. Ruth is a daughter, daughter-in-law to a mother-in-law named Naomi, and they both have lost husbands. Things are even worse than that. There's a famine in the land. There's no food. Things are worse than that. You see, Ruth is a foreigner. She lives in a different land. She's from Moab. But it's at that exact moment when she absolutely should not make a promise of commitment that she says these words to Naomi. Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your land will be my land. Your God will be my God. Unbelievable. Faithfulness. Faithfulness when it absolutely makes no sense to make some sort of promise or commitment. It's almost as if the coach for Oregon State, Coach Tinkle, making a promise that they are going to win the national championship. Right now would not be the time to make that promise. I think they're 4-23. When is a win going to come their way? You know, how hard it is for us to practice faithfulness. Biblical faithfulness says we commit ourselves to those people that are around us, even when our gut instincts would say, don't do it. Faithfulness does that. Second thing that Ruth does that shows faithfulness is that Ruth goes way beyond what would be expected. And in the story of Ruth, we hear this, as there's three women who have lost husbands, the mother-in-law, Naomi, and then there's Ruth, and then there's another daughter-in-law. Her name is Orpah, not Oprah Winfrey. Orpah. A decision must be made with the daughter-in-laws. They've all lost their husbands. No one would blame the daughter-in-laws for making a decision to cut out of town, out of Israel, and go back to their families. And then there's the mother-in-law, Naomi. She's in despair because there's no chance that she can have offspring and that her family can be passed on to the next generation. So decisions have to be made. And Orpah, I didn't say Oprah, Orpah makes the decision to go back home, to live with the people that she grew up with. And no one would blame her for her decision. But Ruth makes a different decision. Ruth shows faithfulness by staying by her mother-in-law. But not just that. Ruth marries someone from Naomi's own family so that Naomi can have a generation and the family line can be passed down. Wow. Faithfulness beyond what we would expect. Ruth showed it. Ruth chose a marriage partner, not for herself primarily, but for the gift of Naomi to have children. How hard is that? How often do we see that? Faithfulness that is not about ourselves and what our desires would be, but faithfulness that benefits another person. Wow. You know, the word for faithfulness in the Bible is a deep guttural. Dr. Johnson, he's good at gutturals, I'll bet, in choir. Chesed. Try that on this afternoon. It's a deep-throated word in the Old Testament, chesed. It means loving kindness, faithfulness. And when you see this occur in the Bible, it usually describes the attribute of God, how God is faithful in one direction to his people, but it's not always reciprocated back to God. We see that with Ruth. We see it with God, and there's no better example of that kind of faithfulness in one direction, but not in the other direction, than Jesus. Jesus showed faithfulness to people that didn't show it back, to doubters, those who would betray him, those who mocked him and put him to the side, and Jesus always showed faithfulness to the people that came his way. And here's the good news for you, friends, this morning. He shows that faithfulness to you. Jesus gives you promises. I will never leave you or forsake you. How about this one, Matthew 28. Lo, I will be with you to the very end of the age, Jesus says. And he gives you those promises, even though he looks ahead and he sees your missteps, he sees your mistakes, he knows the sins that you are going to make, he still pledges himself to you for all time. Jesus is faithful. He gives of himself, even though he knows that there's nothing that you could return and give him. And you know, if we're talking about commercials, if a commercial were made of the New Testament, of the Gospels, it wouldn't go over very well in today's culture. Because do you know what the commercial would show? It would show one giver with a whole bunch of takers all around him. No one wants to go on a cruise like that. The New Testament, that's what it shows. Jesus gives his love and his mercy. Those who follow him receive. Jesus gives of himself completely. Everyone receives from him. It is completely turned around. And the amazing thing, my friends, today that I want you to take away is this. God actually created you to be a giver and not a taker, to practice faithfulness. I once heard a story about a mother eagle and her three eaglets that I wanted to share with you this morning. The mother eagle went out to feed her three eaglets, or went out and got food and brought it back to the nest. And as any good mother eagle would do, she decided it was time for the three eaglets to fly on their own. I'm not going to feed them and do it all by myself. So the mother eagle took the first eaglet and nudged him and knocked him. It looks wild and crazy, but apparently this happens. The eaglet dropped to the ground, and about 4 feet from the ground, it started to flap its wings. It realized its purpose. Mother eagle went back to the second eaglet, did the same thing. Down came the eaglet, about 4 feet from the ground. It started to flap its wings. But then came the third eaglet. It's always the third eaglet in the family that messes things up. And the mother eagle nestled the third eaglet out, and the third eaglet went out and stood on its legs on the branch. Eagles have legs. The mother eagle knocked the eaglet over, and he used his talons to grip onto that limb, and he was hanging upside down. And finally, the mother eagle knocked the eaglet all the way down, so it too, finally, the difficult third eaglet, came down, and about 4 feet from the ground, this eaglet finally figured out its purpose, that it's to soar and fly. What's behind that story is this. Eagles definitely have legs. God gave them legs, but that's not their purpose. Eagles actually have talons, but that's also not their main purpose to grip. The main purpose of an eagle is to soar in the air and fly high above everything else. See, my friends, God created you not to be a taker. Think of all the people in your life, children, grandchildren, grandparents, co-workers, person at the grocery store, whoever it is. It is so easy in life to be a taker. Wouldn't it be great to have them give you everything and be spoiled like it is on a cruise ship? But you know what the truth is? If we live that way, we'd never soar and be the people that God wanted us to be. God made us, just as our design, God made us to be givers to our children, to our grandparents, to our grandchildren, to the people that we work with. And when we give and practice faithfulness, we soar, and we're the people that God meant us to be. You know, one thing that separates human beings from all other species on earth, there's lots of different things, but I thought of this. You know that human beings are the only creature on earth that can practice faithfulness by giving promises. Does your dog give you promises? We think of dogs as man's best friend, but it's instinctual. They say, that's a warm lap. I've got to jump on it and be friendly. That's how dogs work. Only human beings think through something and offer a promise toward the future. God designed you to be a giver and practice faithfulness to those people, those relationships in your life. So go out, make promises, commit to people that are going through tough times, that might have their reputation torn, scorched in the community. Make friends with them. Go out and go beyond the extra mile and care for others, showing faithfulness for the people that come your way. And let's practice the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Amen. We now continue in our worship with our sermon hymn. It'll come up here in just a second. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.